Right now, I mean, if you turn on the national news, the anchors are telling you that home prices have hit this all-time record-breaking high.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They're flashing these big, bold graphics on your screen, basically promising that if you own property right now, you are sitting on a gold mine.
Right.
But, you know, if you live in North Texas, taking that national headline at face value could literally cost you $13,000.
Easily.
Or it could just leave your house sitting empty for half the year.
Yeah. And that is the ultimate danger of the aggregate statistic. Mm-hmm. Because when you blend the real estate data of Manhattan, San Francisco, Miami, and Dallas into one single number, you don't get a clear picture of the market.
No, you get like statistical gray sludge.
Exactly. Gray sludge. Yep. It means absolutely nothing to the person actually putting a for sale sign in their front yard here locally.
Which brings us to today. It's late March 2026.
Spring is officially in the air.
It is. I mean, if you drive down the highways right now, the Texas bluebonnets are already blooming.
They look great this year.
They really do. And Easter is just around the corner, which means we are entering what is traditionally the undisputed starting gun for the spring real estate market.
Yes, is when things usually take off.
So the mission for this deep dive is to cut through that macro level noise you're hearing on TV.
Right. We need to get to the truth.
We've got a massive stack of newly released February 2026 data.
Hot off the presses.
And we are putting it under a microscope to figure out what is actually happening specifically in Wise County and the surrounding North Texas markets.
Because you really need to look closely. We're pulling from three distinct vantage points today.
Okay, lay them out for us.
First, we have the macro level National Association of Realtors report, the NAR report.
So that's the 30,000 foot view.
Exactly. Then we filter that down to the regional level using the North Texas Real Estate Information System summary.
And real quick, for anyone reading the source data or looking at that acronym, NTREIS, it is pronounced Netrunce.
Yes, it is.
It rhymes with rust. I have literally been practicing that all morning so I don't embarrass myself on mic.
Well, you nailed it. I mean, it's basically a rite of passage to mispronounce it at least once in this industry.
I'm trying to break the cycle.
Fair enough. So yes, then it transprends one data, gives us the regional picture, but then finally we're going hyperlocal.
Right into the neighborhoods.
Right. We have the Trends 4 report, which is highly granular, city by city and county by county data.
Which is where the real story is.
It is. But, you know, numbers alone don't sell houses.
Right.
So we are filtering all of this through the real world benchmark of local real estate professionals.
The people actually doing the work.
Exactly. We're using David Peet from Peet Realty as our baseline today.
Okay. Why him specifically?
Well, he has over a decade of boots on the ground experience specifically in these North Texas counties.
Oh, wow. 10 years is a lot of market cycles to live through.
It really is. And we are going to look at how a veteran agent like that interprets this data entirely differently than, say, an algorithm or a casual seller would.
Because if I'm a homeowner in Wise County right now, I'm watching that evening news and I am being fed a very specific narrative.
A very misleading narrative.
So let's start with that national illusion. The NAR data for February 2026 is just it's full of these weird paradoxes.
It really is a strange report to read.
Because sales of existing homes dropped 8.4% across the U.S., landing at a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 3.91 million.
Okay, let's actually translate seasonally adjusted annual rate because it sounds like super heavy jargon.
Yeah, please do.
Real estate is highly seasonal. I mean, nobody wants to move during a blizzard in January or, you know, right when school starts.
Right. Nobody wants to pack boxes in the snow.
Exactly. So economists adjust the raw monthly sales numbers to strip out those seasonal swings, which gives us a smoothed out pace.
So it's like a running average.
Basically, a 3.91 million pace means that if February's underlying momentum continued for a full 12 months, that's how many homes would sell.
Okay, got it. And how good is that number?
Honestly, 3.91 million is sluggish.
Yikes.
Yeah, it represents a 4.4% drop from a year earlier.
Wow.
Across all four major U.S. regions, sales are retreating.
So people are just buying fewer homes everywhere.
Everywhere.
But here is the paradox that kind of breaks my brain. Despite fewer people buying, the national median existing home price went up.
It did.
It increased by 0.9% to $396,800.
Setting a new record for February.
Right. So how does that not violate the basic laws of supply and demand? I mean, if fewer people want the product, shouldn't the price come down?
Well, it would if the product actually existed.
Wait, what do you mean?
The key to that paradox is the national inventory starvation. Nationally, we have only 1.22 million units available.
That sounds like a lot until you remember how big the country is.
Exactly. At the current sluggish sales pace, that is only a 3.7-month supply.
Okay, and historically, what does that mean?
Historically, a 3.7-month supply is a strict seller's market.
Wow, even with fewer buyers.
Yes, and what's driving this nationally is the lock-in effect.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Millions of homeowners refinanced into 3% or 4% mortgages a few years ago.
Right, during the pandemic.
Yeah, so even if they want to move, they look at current interest rates, and they just absolutely refuse to trade their cheap mortgage for a much more expensive one.
The golden handcuffs of a 3% interest rate.
Exactly. So they just stay put, and the supply vanishes.
So the national story is basically nobody is moving, but if you happen to be one of the three people selling a house, you can ask for a fortune because buyers are literally fighting over scraps.
Precisely. All right. That is the macro reality. Now watch what happens when we pivot to our regional net tries data.
Let's do it.
The script flips completely.
This is where the headline actively lies to the North Texas seller, right?
100%. The national news says prices are at record highs, but locally, our median sales price dropped 3.5%.
Wow.
We are down to $356,000.
Okay, so wait. That's roughly a $13,000 drop in equity compared to last year?
Give or take, yes.
Now, I have to push back here for a second because in my notes, you marked this price drop as a sign of a healthier ecosystem.
I did.
But I mean, if I bought my house in Saginaw or Decatur in 2024 at the absolute peak, and you're telling me my home is worth 13 grand less today?
It hurts.
Yeah, I'm not feeling particularly healthy. I'm feeling panic. How is losing equity a good thing?
It's an entirely fair reaction. I mean, if your timeline is heavily compressed, like,
right,
meaning you bought in 2024 and are forced to sell in 2026, a localized price dip really hurts.
Right. You're underwater.
But when I say healthy ecosystem, I'm looking at the sustainability of the regional economy.
Okay. Explain that.
If prices had continued their artificial, you know, rocket ship trajectory from the pandemic years, we would be facing a devastating affordability cliff.
Where normal people just get priced out entirely.
Literally no local workers could buy homes. The reason North Texas prices are softening isn't because of an economic crash.
It's not.
No, it's because of a functional supply chain.
Oh.
While the rest of the country is starved at 3.7 months of inventory, North Texas is sitting at a 4.4 month supply.
Okay, so we both know the traditional metric, right? 4 to 6 months of inventory is considered a balanced market.
Correct.
And anything under 4 is a seller's market. Over 6 is a buyer's market.
That's the textbook definition.
But with the cost of capital being what it is right now in 2026, is that traditional metric broken?
How so?
Like, does 4.4 months actually behave more like a buyer's market now just because borrowing money is so much more expensive?
That is a phenomenal question. And honestly, the data suggests, yes, it leans heavily into buyer psychology. Let's look at why we actually have 4.4 months of supply.
Where is it coming from?
New listings in our region were up 3.6% in February.
Okay.
We brought 15,428 new units to the market, leaving us with a total active inventory of 42,600 units.
Wow. That is a ton of houses.
Texas builds. I mean, we have more land. We have aggressive municipal zoning that favors development.
Sure.
And the builder boom from 2023 and 2024 is finally delivering finished communities to the market.
Oh, right. All those starts are finally completed.
Exactly. That influx of supply acts as a pressure release valve on prices.
It prevents the frantic Lord of the Flies bidding wars we saw a few years ago.
Perfectly said.
So if I'm a seller in North Texas, I really have to turn off Jim Cramer.
You do.
My house isn't going to sell for 50 grand over asking in 6 hours just because a headline out of California says inventory is tight.
Not a chance. Our local reality is 42,600 available units.
We have options.
We have tons of options. And that completely rewires the psychology of the person walking through your open house.
Okay, let's get into that buyer psychology, because I know that changes everything.
We see that psychological shift instantly when we look at days on market, or DOM.
Right.
Across the Net Tres region, the average days on market has increased by 6.9%.
Okay, so how many days are we talking?
We are now sitting at 77 days.
77 days. Wow. Let's ground that for a second.
Please do.
Because selling a house a couple of years ago was literally like dropping Taylor Swift tickets online.
Oh, yeah. chaos.
You hit refresh, the server crashes, and they are gone for triple the face value.
That's exactly how 2021 felt.
But today, a 77-day market means you are basically selling a slightly used Peloton on Facebook Marketplace.
That's a hilarious comparison, but it's completely accurate.
I mean, it has inherent value. You know it's a good product.
Right.
But you have to wait for the exact right person to casually scroll by, measure their spare bedroom, argue with their spouse about it, and then finally make an offer.
Yeah, and that waiting period requires a totally different financial and emotional stamina from the seller.
It has to be exhausting.
It requires immense expectation management. Financially, you have to be prepared to carry the mortgage, the property taxes, the insurance.
The lawn maintenance.
Yes, the lawn maintenance for an entire fiscal quarter while that house sits active.
Right, because 77 days is basically 2.5 months.
Exactly. Emotionally, it means not having a meltdown when the first weekend passes without a single offer.
Which people still do.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
But what is truly fascinating is the underlying mechanism causing buyers to take those 77 days.
What's driving it?
It isn't just high interest rates. It's the housing affordability index.
Oh, this. This was the absolute standout metric for me when I was looking at the report.
It's massive.
The affordability index in North Texas jumped a massive 10.9%.
From 92 up to 102.
I want you to break down the mechanics of this because it kind of acts like a seesaw, right?
A seesaw is the perfect visual for it.
Yep.
The Housing Affordability Index measures whether a typical family earning the median income has enough money to qualify for a mortgage on a median-priced home.
Okay, makes sense.
The fulcrum of that seesaw is the number 100.
The balancing point.
Exactly. If the index is exactly 100, the median family have exactly enough income to qualify, assuming standard lending practices.
So previously we were at 92. The seesaw was, well, it was broken.
Right. At 92, median income families were structurally priced out.
Wow.
Their wages could not support the monthly payment on a $369,000 home at prevailing interest rates.
They just didn't make enough.
No. But now we've hit 102. The seesaw tipped back.
That's huge.
It is. Due to a combination of slight wage growth, stabilized interest rates, and that $13,000 drop in our median home price we talked about.
It all came together.
Yes. The average North Texas family finally has more than enough income to qualify for that $356,000 home.
Okay, but this introduces another massive contradiction in the data.
Hit me.
The report shows that pending sales, meaning homes actually going under contract, decreased by 6.4% to 8,748.
Correct.
So if the index crossed 102, meaning people can finally afford these homes again, why are pending sales dropping?
Right. It seems counterintuitive.
Why are buyers taking 77 days to pull the trigger if they actually have the money?
Because of the paradox of choice.
Oh.
This is classic behavioral economics. When affordability was at 92, buyers operated purely out of fear and scarcity.
Right, panic buying.
Exactly. If you could somehow scrape together the cash, you bought whatever was available instantly, even if it had a cracked foundation, because you were terrified of being priced out forever.
The whole buy it now or rent forever panic.
Exactly. Yeah. But at an index of 102, with 4.4 months of inventory, that panic evaporates.
They have breathing room.
Buyers know they can afford the monthly payment without eating ramen noodles for the next 30 years.
Right.
And they know there are 42,600 other homes to look at.
They regain control?
Exactly. So they don't compromise. They scrutinize the inspection report. They complain about the color of the kitchen cabinets.
Because why wouldn't they?
Right. They wait for the house that fits their exact specifications. Pending sales are down because buyers are choosing to deliberate, not because they are incapable of transacting.
Okay, which means, as a seller, general Metroplex statistics are basically completely useless to you now.
Pretty much.
If buyers are taking 77 days to scrutinize every little detail, neighborhood-level dynamics become the defining factor between a house that sells and a house that just sits and rots on the market.
Yes, the hyper-local data.
We have to zoom into the micro market.
The Trends 4 report, the city-by-city breakdown, is vital here because it highlights how wildly different these microeconomies are.
Averages hide the extremes.
They do. For example, look at Waco.
Okay, what's happening there?
Between February 2025 and February 2026, Waco's median price jumped from $165,000 to $197,500.
Wait, really? That is a staggering jump for a tertiary market. What is the mechanism there? Why is Waco exploding while the rest of North Texas cools off?
It's likely a combination of institutional expansion that, you know, think Baylor University's footprint, coupled with the remote work overflow from Austin and Dallas.
Well, sure. People moving for cheaper living.
Right. Buyers looking for affordability are getting pushed further down the I-35 corridor. Waco becomes the beneficiary of that migration pattern.
That makes total sense.
But then you contrast Waco with a place like Corsicana.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Corsicana data right now. They are sitting on 5.1 months of inventory.
Which is high.
That is rapidly approaching a pure buyer's market. And then look at Crandall. They're at 3.9.
Right, all over the place.
And then Weatherford. If you are selling raw land in Weatherford, the data shows sales are taking 165 days on market.
It's a qual.
165 days. That's almost half a year. Why is land moving at a glacial pace compared to single-family homes?
Well, the financing mechanics for raw land are entirely different, especially in 2026.
Oh, because of the banks.
Exactly. You generally can't just get a standard 30-year fixed mortgage with 5% down for a vacant lot.
Banks don't like dirt.
They view raw land as highly speculative. They require massive down payments, often 30 to 50%. And they charge much higher interest rates.
Wow, 50% down. That's a huge barrier.
Add in the elevated costs of construction loans to actually build on that land, and the pool of qualified buyers shrinks dramatically.
So it just sits there.
Right. If you're holding a deed to land in Weatherford, your economic reality shares almost zero DNA with a family selling a turnkey home in Waco.
That is wild. So let's bring this home to Wise County and those interconnected areas.
The sweet spot.
Right. Places like Saginaw, Benbrook, the Fort Worth sprawl. These areas aren't just isolated dots on a map. They are overlapping microclimates.
They bleed into each other.
Right. So if I want to list my home in Wise County tomorrow, I cannot look at the Dallas metro average of $356,000 and base my strategy on that.
No, that would be a huge mistake.
It's like trying to dress for the weather indicator by looking at the forecast for Chicago.
Exactly.
But honestly, looking at this Trends 4 spreadsheet with hundreds of cities and thousands of individual data points, the noise is deafening.
It's a lot to process.
How does a property owner find the actual signal in all this?
Well, this extreme variance is precisely why algorithmic valuations, you know, those automated estimates you see on the big real estate portals, fail spectacularly in a stabilizing market.
Because they just smooth everything out.
An algorithm is a blunt instrument. Yeah. It sees a zip code, pulls recent sales, divides by square footage, and spits out a number.
It doesn't know anything else.
Right. It cannot interpret neighborhood nuance.
An algorithm doesn't know that the house three streets over backs up to a train track that blasts a horn at 3 a.m.
Exactly.
While your house is on a quiet cul-de-sac. It just sees two houses in the same zip code.
And this is exactly where the factual benchmark of an experienced professional becomes mandatory.
Right. Bringing a human back into the loop.
The data objectively proves that to navigate a nuanced 77-day market, you need a local guide who actually understands buyer psychology.
Like David Peet.
Right. We use David Peet of Peet Realty as our benchmark to illustrate this today. Having over a decade of experience specifically in these local counties means he has lived through it all.
All the ups and downs.
He saw the hyperinflation of the pandemic, the interest rate shocks, and now this 2026 stabilization.
A decade of experience means you aren't just guessing anymore. You have pattern recognition.
Exactly. When a local expert looks at the Netrons data, they see the story behind the numbers.
Give me an example of that.
Well, for instance, the data shows that the city of Watauga is fetching an incredible 96.4% of its original list price.
Wow, that's really high.
But another nearby area might only be fetching 88%.
Right.
An algorithm can't tell you why that's happening.
It just gives you the average.
But a veteran agent knows whether buyers in Watauga are currently paying premiums for larger lot sizes, or if there's a specific elementary school driving that demand, or if it's proximity to a new commercial development.
They map the hard data to human behavior.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the actual execution phase, the spring 2026 strategy.
This is the most important part.
So I'm a Wise County property owner. I know the national market is starved, but my local market has 4.4 months of supply.
Right.
I know affordability is at 102, meaning buyers have the financial bandwidth, but they're taking 77 days to make a decision.
You've got the facts.
So, armed with all of this, What is the data-backed strategy? How do I sell my house without leaving equity on the table, but also without it sitting empty until Thanksgiving?
The single most critical metric for a seller right now is percent of original list price received.
Okay.
And the overarching lesson from the February data is simple. In a market with 42,600 active units of inventory, aspirational pricing is fatal.
Okay, let's define aspirational pricing.
Sure.
That's the seller who says, well, my neighbor sold for $400,000 last year and I painted my front door, so let's list at $450,000 and just test the waters to see if anyone bites.
Yes, that exact person. Testing the waters is a strategy from a bygone era.
It's dead.
It is dead.
Yeah.
In 2021, testing the waters worked because desperation overrode logic.
People were waiving appraisals, buying sight unseen.
Exactly. But in 2026, with an affordability index of 102, buyers are highly logical.
Because they have options.
If you price too high, you don't just miss out on a sale. Mm-hmm. You actively contribute to that 6.4% drop in pending sales.
Because you're just sitting there.
Buyers will look at your listing, look at the 4.4 months of alternative options, and scroll right past you.
And what happens when they scroll past? We really need to talk about the psychology of a stale listing.
It's brutal.
Because a house that has been on the market for 5 days is viewed entirely differently than a house that has been on the market for 50 days.
I call it the stigma curve.
A stigma curve. I like that.
Days 1 through 14 are your golden window.
Okay.
The listing is fresh. The algorithms push it to the top of buyers' inboxes, and it possesses the allure of the new.
Right. Everybody wants the new thing.
But once you cross day 45 or day 60, buyer psychology shifts dramatically.
They start getting suspicious.
Exactly. They no longer ask, is this the right house for me? They ask, what is structurally wrong with this house that nobody else has bought it yet?
Oh, wow. It's pure social proof. Or, well, in this case, negative social proof.
Exactly what it is.
If no one else wanted it, it must be bad. It's loss aversion. They are afraid of catching a falling knife.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Once a listing is stigmatized, the only way to overcome that buyer hesitation is a massive, painful price reduction.
You have to slash it.
The data shows overwhelmingly that sellers who price aspirationally and are forced to drop their price later almost always net less money overall than if they had just priced the home correctly on day one.
Pricing elasticity right now is practically zero.
It doesn't exist.
If you miss the mark by 5%, you don't get 5% fewer showings. You get zero showings.
Zero.
So pricing correctly from day one is the golden rule. But how do you execute that when the micro markets are so fragmented like we just talked about?
This is the definitive call to action derived from this entire data stack.
Okay.
If you are a property owner considering a fail, the numbers strongly dictate that you cannot navigate this environment alone.
Don't try to FSBO this.
Do not FSBO this in 2026. The 77-day DOM and shifting affordability mean you have a very narrow window to capture a discerning, patient buyer.
You have to be perfect.
You must contact a veteran professional first.
Like immediately.
Looking at our benchmark, calling someone like David Pete, before you make arbitrary renovations, before you anchor your brain to a Zillow estimate, and long before you stick a sign in the yard, is the single most profitable moves you can make.
That arbitrary renovations part is huge, actually.
Oh, it's a trap so many people fall into.
I see people dump $20,000 into a cosmetic master bathroom remodel, basically assuming it will add $40,000 to their asking price.
And it almost never does.
Then they find out that buyers in their specific Wise County subdivision actually cared way more about the 15-year-old HVAC system or the deferred maintenance on the roof.
Exactly. A 10-year veteran of the local market knows exactly what yields a return on investment in your specific neighborhood.
Because they've seen it play out.
They understand how to interpret 4 months of supply, not as a threat, but as a strategic roadmap for making your specific unit undeniable among the 42,600 others.
They know how to make you stand out.
They manage the timeline, the price elasticity, and the buyer psychology so you don't become a casualty of the stigma curve.
It's all about translating data into leverage.
That's the perfect way to phrase it.
So synthesizing everything we've torn into today, the national headlines are loud, but they are incredibly misleading for North Texas.
Very misleading.
The macro market is tightening, sales are dropping, and prices are inching up due to a 3.7-month inventory starvation caused by the lock-in effect.
That's the national story.
But locally, the Net Tries data reveals a market that has fundamentally stabilized.
It really has. We have a robust, healthy 4.4-month supply fueled by active building and listing.
Lots of new homes.
Prices have moderated by 3.5% to a median of $356,000. And because of that crucial moderation, the affordability seesaw has tipped back in the buyer's favor,
crossing that 100-point threshold to sit at an index of 102.
The math finally works again for the median family.
It does. But because they have choices, they're taking an average of 77 days to make a decision, which means sellers have to operate with surgical precision.
No room for error.
Within this regional stability, we have hyper-local micro-markets like Wise County, where the difference between Watauga and Weatherford is just night and day.
Entirely different worlds.
Generalities will kill your equity, which is why leaning on a decade of local expertise is the only reliable way to navigate your pricing and presentation.
Because these aren't just abstract statistics.
Right, this is real life.
This is the financial landscape of what is likely your most significant asset. Understanding the mechanics of supply, affordability, and local buyer psychology puts you entirely ahead of the curve.
You start reacting to fear-mongering national headlines.
And you start moving strategically with the local currents.
Beautifully said. But, you know, I want to leave you, our listener, with a final provocative thought to chew on as you head into this spring season.
Let's hear it.
We've established that the affordability index crept back over 100 here in North Texas.
Yes.
And we are sitting in this comfortable, balanced 4.4-month supply zone.
It's a nice place to be.
But as we head deeper into 2026, what happens when the rest of the country actually realizes this?
Oh, wow.
What happens if that severe national inventory shortage, the complete starvation of homes in places with barely a 2-month supply, starts pushing desperate out-of-state buyers into our perfectly balanced ecosystem?
That would change everything.
Will our localized stability act as a magnet, turning our calm, deliberate spring market into an unexpected, chaotic summer frenzy as remote workers flee the coastal lock-in effect?
It is definitely a possibility.
Keep a very close eye on your neighborhood, because if the data tells us one thing today, it's that the real estate weather can change remarkably fast.